Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mo's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice. I'm ready to talk sports with you on this pretty nice Monday in Oklahoma. It's about close to 70 degrees outside, so a really nice day. A little windy, but definitely a nice day here in Oklahoma. Had a great weekend of watching sports and ready to talk about it all with you. As always, there's three ways you can contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, mauricetrice@hotmail.com. That's M-A-U-R-I-C-E-T-R-I-C-E @hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, @TheDukeBoy100. That's @TheDukeBoy100. You can also like my Facebook page as well. Just put in Mo's Sports Talk in the search on Facebook, and you can like my Facebook page. I believe the show is also available on iTunes as well. And don't forget, you can listen to the show on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. That's TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. But we have a lot of sports to talk about today. We're going to talk a lot of basketball heading into the final week of the regular season in college basketball. Getting ready for our conference tournament time, so we'll talk a lot of college basketball from this weekend. Also, we'll talk some NBA as well. But before we do that, we can talk some other sports topics as well. We can talk a little college football, even though I know college football doesn't start for a long time from now. But we did have some college football news. Baker Mayfield was arrested in Arkansas because of public intoxication. He also resisted arrest, and he also tried to flee from police. Just a silly, silly story. And look, I know young people make mistakes, but you got to make better decisions. You got to make better decisions. Like I said, if you want to drink alcohol, drink it in very little. If you want to, I mean, when you drink too much alcohol, it makes you do really dumb things. So, just a bad decision for Baker Mayfield there, and definitely another black eye for the University of Oklahoma. But look, I don't think he's going to. I could see him being suspended for maybe the first half of the game against UTEP, maybe. Probably not. I think more than likely he'll be fined. He'll also have to do some community service, but we'll see. They also talked about, I've heard that mentioned, someone mentioned that he might be stripped of his cap, being the captain for OU. I could see that happening as well, but more than likely this is going to be a situation while it's handled internally, and also that he will be fined and have to do some community service, but he has to make better decisions. There's no doubt about that. That is a poor, poor decision. Anytime an officer tells you to do something, just do it. I mean, just be smart and do it. So just a poor, poor decision there by Baker Mayfield. And like I said, it makes he's the face right now of the University of Oklahoma football program outside of Bob Coach Stoops. So it definitely makes shines another bad light on OU football. Just a poor, dumb decision. So anyway, we can talk about that. We also can talk NFL news. Tony Romo, his future. It's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. There's no way, in my opinion, that he stays in Dallas. So where is he going to end up is going to be a big thing in the offseason. We'll see. I've been hearing different teams. I've heard Houston. I've heard some other teams as well. So we'll definitely keep an eye out on that. See where Tony Romo ends up. I also heard Buffalo as well. So we'll see where his destination will be. I did have some breaking news. Antonio Brown signs a 4-year, $68 million deal to stay with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you have to be excited about that, making him the highest-paid wide receiver. And also the Steelers placed the franchise tag on Le'Veon Bell, so he'll be there for another year in Pittsburgh, so maybe they can make another run at it. We'll see what Ben Roethlisberger does. You know, there was talks about him retiring, but I don't think so. So we can talk about that as well. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything in the world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Let's shift gears and let's talk some college basketball. Let's talk about the weekend that was in college basketball. By the way, I went 3-2 in my college basketball picks. Not great, not great. But I am 18-5 so far for the regular season in my weekend watch college basketball picks. That's really good. But let's talk some college basketball. North Carolina, they clinched at least a share of the ACC title by beating Pittsburgh 85-67. Josh Jackson scored 23 points. Joel Berry had 19 points. They dominated on the glass. That's what North Carolina does. They had 24 offensive rebounds. Also, they hit 10 threes. They were plus 15 on the glass. For Pittsburgh, Michael Young had 17 points and 8 boards, but they shot just 40% from the field. So when North Carolina, when they play defense like they've been playing and when they can score, we already know they can score when they get in transition. But when they defend like they're been defending the last couple of games, that's when North Carolina is going to be really tough to beat. And that pains me to say as a Duke fan, but that being said, North Carolina is playing some great basketball right now. They will be the number one seed in the ACC tournament. Oh, sorry, I did tell you that Kentucky would beat Florida. They did. They came back to beat Florida 76-66. Malik Monk, he scored 33 points on 9 of 18 shooting, so very efficient. He also had 5 assists. Bam Adebayo, I told you he'd be a big difference maker. Florida's mind is a big man, and he took advantage of that. He had 18 points and 15 boards. They were plus 18 on the glass. Kayvon Allen had 24 points. Now, look, Florida, Kayvon Allen had 24 points, but they shot just 37% from the field, and they were 10 of 30 from the three-point line. Too many threes. They settled way too much for threes. They did not attack enough. They settled way too much for these tough contested threes. And also, and that's a bad, to me, well, I'm not going to say it's a bad loss of Florida, because anytime you're trying to win in Kentucky, but they were without De'Aaron Fox. Kentucky was, so Florida, they needed to take advantage of that, and they didn't. So give it up to Kentucky for getting the victory in that one as they went 76-66. Also, I told you Oklahoma State would beat Texas Tech. They did. They went 80-63. They've won 10 of their last 11 games. Jeffrey Carroll, he scored 17 points. Juwan Evans had 15 points and 6 assists. Phil Forte added 15 points. They shot 49% from the field, and they hit 10 threes. They were 22 of 22 from the free throw line. That is definitely fundamentals right there, knocking down those free throw shots. Keenan Evans, he scored 18 points for Texas Tech, but they shot just 39% from the field. They were 4 of 18 from 3. So Oklahoma State's coming. They're playing some great basketball right now. They're definitely an NCAA tournament team. There's no doubt about that. Now it's going to be what seed will they get. That'll be interesting to see. But they're playing some really, really great basketball as of now. Coach Underwood, I knew that was a great hire when Oklahoma State decided to go that direction, when they decided to hire Coach Underwood. And right now it's really paying off. I mean, that team is on fire. They're playing some outstanding basketball right now for Oklahoma State. So if you're an Oklahoma State fan, you have to be very thrilled. Don't forget, Oklahoma State started 0-6 in conference play. And now they've won 9 games, I believe. Nine games. So they're playing some outstanding basketball right now. We'll see if they can keep it up. They have a tough week this week at Iowa State and then a home game against Kansas. Don't forget, if you want to talk college basketball, you want to talk NBA, you want to talk anything in the world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. The game I was wrong about, I would have picked Miami if I had known Grayson Allen was not going to play, but Miami did beat my favorite team, the Duke Blue Devils, 55-50. Bruce Brown, he scored 25 points. Miami did a great job of getting to the basket. They didn't settle for jumpers. That was the main thing for Miami, and Bruce Brown was in attack mode the whole game long. For Duke, Frank Jackson, he played really well. He scored 16 points, but the big stars, when Grayson Allen was hurt, the big stars for Duke need to step up. That's Luke Kennard and Jason Tatum. They shot a combined 10 of 36 from the field. Kennard scored 16 points on 6 of 20 shooting. Jason Tatum scored 8 points on 4 of 16 shooting. As a team, Duke shot 32% from the field. They were 5 of 21 from threes. Again, to me, they settled a little too much for that 3-point shot when they didn't need to. And also, they were only 3 of 9 from the free throw line, so they only had 9 attempts, but they only made 3 free throws out of the 9. So, to me, again, they settled too much. No Grayson Allen. Obviously, that's a big deal, Grayson Allen. His ability to drive, his ability to get in the lane, his ability to set up his teammates, that was really missed on Saturday. But for me, Duke has to get healthy. That's going to be a key. I've heard that Kamil Jefferson and Grayson Allen are both game-time decisions for Tuesday night's game, but we've been saying this all season long. The defense has really improved for Duke. It was offensive struggles, and again, settling for those outside shots. With Grayson Allen, you don't want to make excuses for Duke, but if Grayson Allen had played, I believe Duke would have beaten Miami, in my opinion. I think Grayson Allen's ability to get in the lane, his ability to set up his teammates for easy shots, I think that would have been the difference. But that being said, the key for Duke going forward, getting healthy, getting Allen and Mill Jefferson 100% healthy heading into the ACC tournament and then the NCAA tournament. That's going to be big. And also I think it's going to be important for Duke to get the number 4 seed and play their first two games in Greenville. I think that's going to be really, really important. Also, a lot of these bracketologists have had Duke in the same region as Kansas. You want to avoid Kansas' region. I'm going to tell you why. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Kansas, they'll play their first two games in Tulsa, and then they'll play their regional semifinals and finals potentially in Kansas City. You don't want to play Kansas in Kansas City. You don't want to do it. So, look, that's going to be a key going forward. Can Duke avoid being in Kansas' region? And also, but more important for Duke, getting healthy, because if they're healthy, they still can make a run in this thing. Call me crazy, but I still think Duke can make a run. The defense has improved. They've been a lot tougher defensively. I know the offense is going to come. Again, they have to settle less for threes. They have to make their free throw shots. Those are fundamental things. But if they do that, Duke can make a run. So we'll definitely talk more about that going forward. Duke has a big week against Florida State on Tuesday night, and then they play North Carolina this weekend. In the Big 12, Iowa State, they stunned Baylor, beat them 72-69. Deontay Burton, he had a really good game. He scored 22 points. Monte Morris had 17 points and 7 assists. They shot 58% from the field, only 5 turnovers for Iowa State. Very efficient. They shot the ball really well. For Baylor, Jonathan Motley had a double-double, 27 points and 11 rebounds. Manu LeConte, he was hurt, 0 points. That definitely hurt Baylor. I think he's a big difference maker, that point guard for Baylor. They have to get him healthy. They were 5 of 22 from the three-point line, and they only had 5 free throw attempts. So Baylor's at their best when they're using their size, getting to the foul line. That did not happen. But Iowa State, they have a lot of potential. They have a lot of talent there, so a nice win there for Iowa State. In the Big Ten, we had another upset. Michigan, they whipped Purdue, beating them 82-70. Mo Wagner, he scored 24 points. Derek Walton had 17 points and 11 rebounds. Michigan shot 55% from the field. They hit 11 threes. For Purdue, Caleb Swanigan scored 18 points, but they were only 5 of 16 from the three-point line. And also Purdue was only 5 of 8 from the free throw line as well. So they didn't do a good job of getting to the free throw line. Also, they didn't knock down their outside shot. So that was a big reason why Michigan won that game. And also Michigan, they do a great job with their ball movement. Also, when they're knocking down shots, Michigan is really, really tough to beat. So a big win there for Michigan. Purdue have been playing some really good basketball. Also, going back to the Big 12, Kansas, they clinched another outright Big 12 title, beating Texas 77-67. Josh Jackson scored 18 points. He had 5 rebounds and also 5 assists. Frank Mason added 16 points. They were the more aggressive team. They were 17-22 from the free throw line. Texas was only 12-17. For Texas, Jared Allen had a big game. He had 20 points and 11 rebounds, but they were only 3 of 16 from the three-point line. So what else is new? Another outright Big 12 title for Kansas. They'll be the number one seed in the Big 12 tournament. They're going to be awfully tough to beat. This is not one of Bill Self's better Kansas teams, but they have a veteran backcourt, and they have a one-and-done star in Josh Jackson. That guy is big time. So they do have some issues in the interior, but they – lack of depth in the interior, I should say, but Kansas is still a really, really good basketball team. They're going to be tough to beat, especially if they get to play in Tulsa and then Kansas City come the NCAA tournament time. In the Pac-12, I was wrong on this when I told you that Arizona would beat UCLA at home. That did not happen. UCLA, they came back to beat Arizona 77-72. Balanced scoring effort there for UCLA. Bryce Alford, he scored 15 points. Thomas Welsh had 14 points and 8 rebounds. TJ Leaf, he had 12 points and 7 rebounds. Lonzo Ball had 11 points and 8 assists. They had 14 offensive rebounds and 19 second chance points. They did it work on the glass. And that's the major reason why UCLA won the game. they dominate on the glass, and also they dominate in second chance points as well. Alonzo Trier, he had 28 points in the loss. You know, he's from Oklahoma, by the way, but he played really well. He was definitely the best player on the court. Arizona shot 51% from the field, but they were 5 of 18 from threes, and they struggled against the 3-2 zone in the second half. I mean, they settled way too much for jumpers. They didn't get in the gaps of the zone. They didn't execute well at all offensively against that 3-2 zone. They just struggled. And give credit to UCLA for putting on that 3-2 zone. Really slowed down Arizona, because Arizona was getting anything they wanted offensively against the man-to-man. UCLA, they go zone, and man, Arizona struggled. They really, really struggled. So a big time win for UCLA. UCLA is obviously one of the best offensive teams in the country. They're really efficient offensively, so watch out for UCLA. And these teams might play again in the Pac-12 semifinals. We shall wait and see. Definitely looking forward to that. Hopefully that one will be on TV and not on the or at least on a channel that I have, not on the Pac-12 network. But anyway, looking forward to that. Oregon right now is in the driver's seat to get the number one seed in the Pac-12 tournament, by the way. And then finally, Gonzaga. They lost last night, Saturday night, losing to BYU. They didn't make their free throws. BYU, they played tight, and BYU played really loose. Eric Minka had a big game for BYU. They knocked down threes. They played free and loose, and Gonzaga was really tight, trying to go for an undefeated regular season, which we've seen before, but it would have been nice to see again. But Gonzaga loses. I still think they're a number one seed if they win the WCC tournament. Well, I'm going to take that back. If Oregon wins the Pac-12 tournament, if they win the regular season, because they have the tiebreaker over Arizona in the Pac-12, if they win the regular season in the Pac-12, and also they win the Pac-12 tournament, I believe Oregon will be the number one seed in the West. But if Oregon, either they stumble before the regular season ends, which I don't think they will, or they stumble in the Pac-12 tournament, I believe if Gonzaga wins the West Coast Conference tournament, they will be the number one seed in the West. So we'll definitely keep a track of that. But right now we're going to take another quick break. We're going to play some music from the Fast and Furious 6 soundtrack. Looking forward to the Fast Furious 8. Well, maybe. We'll see if I'm going to watch it. But anyway, we'll play that music, and then we'll talk some. Well, we do have a special guest. Dick Vitale is going to stop by, going to give us his thoughts on the weekend that was in college basketball. And then we'll talk NBA. We'll do all that next on Moves Sports Talk.
Sean Khalid from Man. Don't shine.
Money's the motivation, money's the conversation. You on vacation, we getting paid, so we on vacation. I did it for the fam. It's whatever we had to do, it's just who I am. Yeah, it's the life I chose. Gunshots in the dark, one eye closed. And we got it cooking like a one-eye stove. You can catch me kissing my girl with both eyes closed. Perfecting my passion, thanks for asking. Couldn't slow down, so we had to crash it. You use plastic, we bout cash. I see some people ahead that we gon' pass, yeah.
I never feared death or dying. I only fear never trying. I am whatever I am. Only God can judge me now. One shot, everything rides on tonight. Even if I've got three strikes, I'ma go for it. This moment, we own it.
Oh, you serious? Oh, it's me, baby. It's Dickie V. Oh, it's the last week of college basketball, the last week of the regular season, baby. It's heading to my favorite month, March Madness, baby. It's on the way. Oh, the Dukies, they got to get healthy, baby. Grayson Allen was out. He's a game-time decision for Tuesday night. I know Mo's not happy about that, baby. Oh, but I enjoyed the college basketball. UCLA, led by their Super Diaper Dandy, Lonzo Ball, baby. Oh, he's a triple S man. He's super silly and sensational. He's awesome, baby, with a capital A. But watch out for the Tar Heels, baby, of North Carolina. The Tar Heels, baby. Oh, they're doing a great job on the glass, like always. Oh, and they're playing defense, baby. They're playing some defense. Oh, can you believe it? Oh, it's going to be awesome. Oh, I can't wait, baby. But let me give it back to Mo. He's a divine. He's magical. He's marvelous. He's magnificent, baby.
Well, thank you, Dick Vitale, stopping by, giving us his thoughts on college basketball. So thank you for that, Mr. Vitale. Let's turn our attention to the NBA, and let's talk about the weekend that was in the NBA. Don't forget, you can call me up. It's not too late. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. On Friday night, Oklahoma City, they dominated the Lakers, beating them 110-93. Russell Westbrook, he scored another triple-double. He scored 17 points, but on 4 of 18 shooting. So he didn't shoot the ball well at all, but he still had, he left an impact on the game. 18 rebounds and 17 assists. He did a great job of setting up his teammates. Alex Abrines scored 19 points. Andre Roberson, he also had 19 as well, hitting all his threes. Imagine that, Andre Roberson hitting all his threes. Steven Adams had a double-double, 15 points and 10 rebounds. The new acquisitions for the Thunder, they definitely had an impact. Taj Gibson, he scored 12 points. I think Doug McDermott had 8. And Oklahoma City dominated without Victor Oladipo, who was out with back spasms. They hit 10 threes. They were plus 8 on the glass. The only negative for the Thunder was the 17 turnovers against the Lakers. Just too many turnovers. Excuse me. D'Angelo Russell scored 29 points for the Lakers in a losing effort, but they shot just 40%. They were 7 of 35 from 3, so a really good effort there by the perimeter defense for Oklahoma City, and a nice win coming out of the All-Star break. I know it's against the Lakers, but still a nice win there. And again, I think they've definitely improved themselves with that trade, getting Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott from the Chicago Bulls. Also on Friday night, the Toronto Raptors, they stunned the Boston Celtics 107-97. DeMar DeRozan, he was special. He scored 43 points. Serge Ibaka, he had 15 points and 7 rebounds. It was an upset because Toronto was out Kyle Lowry, which is some breaking news. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. It looks like he might be, but he should be back in time for the playoffs. So that's good news for Toronto. They're going to have to hold it down with that. And they shot 49% from the field. They only had 9 turnovers. Very efficient there by the Toronto Raptors. For the Boston Celtics, Isaiah Thomas, he struggled. He scored 20 points, but on 6-17 shooting, he also had 5 assists. Marcus Smart, he had a nice game. Him and Jay Crowder, each scored 19 points, but Boston shot just 42%, and they were 12 of 38 from threes, from the three-point line. Again, too many threes. Why settle for threes? Attack and get into the lane, get to the foul line. They did not do that. They settled way too much for threes. So a really, really good win there for Toronto without their star in Kyle Lowry. Also, on Friday night, the Spurs, they beat the Clippers 107-97. Kawhi Leonard, he played really well. He has 21 points and 6 assists. You know, he really struggled against the Clippers in his career. He's only averaged about 13 points against the Clippers. He was really good on Friday night against them. Pau Gasol, he had 17 points and 11 rebounds off the bench, so he's healthy. That's good news for the Spurs. They were plus 15 on the glass. And also Petty Mills, he had 14 points off the bench. The Spurs were 26 of 30 from the free throw line. The Clippers were only 20 of 24. For the Clippers, Blake Griffin, he scored 29 points, had 9 rebounds. Chris Paul had 17 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists in his first game in a long time back for the Clippers. You know, he's been dealing with injuries, so he's back. But they were 7 of 23 from threes. And for the Clippers, if they want to take the next step, if they want to have any chance of making it to the NBA Finals, they have to, obviously, they have to beat, more than likely, they're going to have to beat both the Spurs and the Warriors this postseason. And they have not proven to me at all that they can beat the Spurs or the Warriors. And I know they haven't been healthy, but if you're a Clipper fan, you're not very confident that your Clipper team can beat the Spurs and Warriors in back-to-back playoff series right now. I just don't see it. Yeah, it's good news that the Clippers are healthy. That's the good news. But the bad news is, how can you beat the Warriors? Can you beat the Spurs? And like I said, that I know they've beaten the Spurs 2 out of 3 this season. But in the playoffs, that's a different story. That's a different story. So that's a concern going forward, because the Clippers, this could be the last year that they have a really great chance of winning, because I think they might blow this thing up in the off season. I think, you know, J.J. Redick, Chris Paul, and also Blake Griffin, all free agents, so I don't think they're all going to stay if they don't make a deep run this season. in the NBA playoffs. But like I said, the good news, the Clippers are healthy. The bad news is, can they beat the Warriors and are the Spurs in a playoff series? That's going to be very, and they're going to have to beat them back to back. If they're the three seed, they're going to have to beat them back to back. Even after I don't think it's getting around it. They're going to have to beat the Clippers and the Warriors in back-to-back series if they're going to make it to the NBA Finals. So we shall wait and see there. Also, on Saturday night, the Bulls, they whipped the Cavaliers 117-99. Jimmy Butler had a triple-double. He had 18 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. Dwayne Wade, he just missed out on a triple-double. He had 20 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds. So the Stars played really well for the Bulls. 8 Chicago Bulls were in double figures. They shot 50%. They hit 11 threes. So really a great night offensively for the Chicago Bulls. I was really shocked they scored 117 points on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, the Cavaliers were without LeBron James. He was dealing with a strep throat, so he did not play. Kyrie Irving had a good game. He had 34 points, but not enough help for Kyrie Irving. They shot just 46% from the field, so I believe the Cavaliers are 4-20 without LeBron James in the lineup, so that's no shock there that they would lose the game to the Bulls. When I found out that LeBron James was not playing, I said, oh, yeah, the Bulls should win this game. They have to take advantage of it. Anytime LeBron James doesn't play for Cleveland, you better take advantage of the Cavaliers, especially without Kevin Love and also J.R. Smith. So if they can get healthy, I still think the Cavaliers are going to be a team to be dealt with. It looks like they're going to get Deron Williams to help out with that at the backup point guard position. That's definitely an upgrade for them there since he cleared waivers. And also Andrew Bogut, he might be joining the Cleveland Cavaliers as well. That's some rim protection. That'll be interesting that the Cavaliers have to go up against the Warriors with Bogut now a Cavalier. That'll be very, very interesting. But anyway, we'll see. So still the Cavaliers, to me, are still the team to beat in the East, obviously, once they get healthy. But they got to get healthy, and they're going to have to stay healthy in the playoffs. But if they can get everyone together, if they can get Love back in the fold, if they can get J.R. Smith back in the fold, and with the additions of Deron Williams is playing really well. Corver shooting lights out. Watch out for the Cleveland Cavaliers heading into the playoffs. So we shall wait and see there. And then finally, on Sunday night, Oklahoma City, they got past New Orleans 118-110. Russell Westbrook, another triple-double, his 29th of the regular season. He had 41 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists. How good was he down the stretch? He scored the Thunder's last 16 points. He did a great job being in attack mode. He also knocked down some big threes as well in his canter. It looks like he's 100% healthy. His first game back against the Lakers, he didn't look 100% healthy. Didn't look like he had his legs. His conditioning wasn't there, but he had 20 points and 9 rebounds. Steven Adams had a double-double, 13 points and 10 rebounds for Steven Adams. And also Alex Abrines, he scored 13 points as well. He knocked down some threes. Victor Oladipo missed his game again because of back spasms. Hopefully he'll be back Tuesday night because Oklahoma City has a big one against Utah. But Oklahoma City on Sunday night, they were plus 18 on the glass, and that's saying something against the Pelicans, especially with their bigs and Anthony Davis and also DeMarcus Cousins. And also they had 38 bench points. For the Pelicans, Anthony Davis scored 38 points, has rebounds. DeMarcus Cousins added 31 points. He fouled out. A great play by Russell Westbrook being in attack mode, going right at DeMarcus Cousins and dunking on him and also getting the foul. But those bigs really dominated. But they only combined for 7-20 shooting in the second half. You have to give credit to the Thunder defense, especially their bigs and Steven Adams, also Enes Kanter and Taj Gibson as well, who's a really good defender. They did a much better job in the second half, but they're tough to deal with. Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. But DeMarcus Cousins, he needs to stop with the technical fouls. He's down. He's going to be suspended for a game unless it's rescinded. I don't think it was rescinded, so he's going to be suspended the game. He has to watch himself. He has to keep his emotions in check. I know it's an emotional game, but you have to keep your emotions in check. So 18 technical fouls, and we still have about 6 weeks left in the season. That is ridiculous. So keep your emotions in check. So, I mean, I'm just letting you know, keep your emotions in check. But thank you for listening to my show. Don't forget, my next show will be Friday at 5:30 Central scheduled time, guys. We'll talk college basketball, get you ready for the last weekend of the regular season in college basketball. Also, we'll talk some NBA. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk anything in the world of sports. So have a blessed of your week. God is good. Trust in Him. Trust Him in all times. And we'll talk to you next time on Mo'.